Well, here's the host of Investing Simplified, Chuck Price.
We do Investing Simplified.
Well, welcome to Investing Simplified here in Portland, Oregon on, of course, another great Saturday morning. This is one of these all-American weekends where we look forward to Labor Day, college football, and the like. And so we are excited to have this have the opportunity for you to listen to us. Give us a call, 503-417-7626. We are live, and we are broadcasting here out of downtown Portland. And we are a live call-in financial show with an attorney, financial advisor, and myself. I'm Kevin Stege, CPA, shareholder with Baker & Coulson. And we'd love to have your calls. We'd love to hear what you've what's on your mind, what you've got to say. We've got a pretty exciting show here today. Carl is not with us, but we do have Chuck in the office, and he'll be joining us here shortly with his typical stock report. And so I know we look forward to hearing from you, 503-417-7626. And we look forward to hearing from you. So Chuck's just getting his headset on and getting ready. Of course, I'm not the voice of Investing Simplified, but Chuck certainly is. And we do want to hear from you when you get a chance to give us a call with your questions.
Well, thank you, Kevin, for pitch hitting here. There,
okay.
We had a little problem with our equipment, but we got it all worked out. And hopefully, my voice is now going out to the millions and millions of listeners.
That's right.
Yeah. So welcome to Investing Simplified. Like Kevin was saying, what a wonderful day, huh?
It sure is.
Man, I'll tell you, it's supposed to be in the 80s, 88 today. So
it is.
That's going to be great. Listen, if you got a question, this is going to be a great morning to call. You can call 503-417-7626. Make that call, because there is no foolish question when it comes to your money or your taxes. Wouldn't you agree with that?
That's right.
Yep. And I believe that somewhere in the Supreme Court, they said that we're all required to pay income taxes, but not a penny more than we legally have to.
I think that is also correct.
I think so. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, listen.
And we work toward that for you.
That's right. Thank you very much.
Yes.
I appreciate that. I really do. Well, listen, I'm going to have fun with the stock report today because, you know, the market's been really rocky. Kind of got tanked this last week a little bit, and it's been very volatile. And those of you that had an opportunity to listen last week when we had Rodney Johnson from Harry Dent, and by the way, you can go onto my website at www.pfgwm.com, and you can listen to our previous shows that we've been doing on there. And you can also listen to the special news things that I'm doing once in a while. I've been on Lars Larson's show. We have Harry Dent coming on our show. We have Rodney Johnson on our show. And we've got all those taped. So you can go in and you can listen to them if you miss them. So just go to our website. Also, you can go on there and sign up for their free newsletter, Survive and Prosper. And that's been a really great newsletter. And I really highly recommend you look at it at least. Even if you're not going to be doing any investing or trading for yourself, it's really great to get an understanding, because my belief is that knowledge is power. The more you know, the better investor you're going to be. And so with that, I'm going to kick right off into the stock market. And, you know, in the stock market for this week, and of course, I'm going to note that on our show, we're going to talk about situations, but it doesn't apply to everybody. So if you're going to be looking at something for investing, you need to sit down with a qualified person to talk to them about it before you invest your money. Okay, I'm going to give a stock market report here I took off of Yahoo Finance. The Dow Jones closed at 14,810. Now, where do we stand on the market? And one of the things I think is one of the biggest crimes in the history of this country is how the business news is reporting what's going on in the market. And the reason I state this, I've been consistently for the last 5 years talking about the recovery really isn't what everybody says it is. And I actually had somebody call me this past week and made a statement to me that they said, well, when you report how bad it is, you know, where we were at the high and then how much we really haven't grown, but you're not looking back to the whole turn of the century. So I thought, hey, I'll tell you what, make sure you listen this Saturday because I'm going to go back to the whole turn of the century. But right now, I'm just going to say that back to 10907, when we hit that high of 14,164 on the market, here's the great recovery. We are now up from 10907 before the crash, the day before the market started down. We are up a whopping 4.56%. In 5 years and 10 months, we're up an average of 78 basis points per year. Now, does that sound like a real exciting recovery to you?
It doesn't, but what's a basis point?
Well, 1% is 1%, and then a tenth is a basis point.
Wow.
So this is 0.78.
This is not much.
No, less than just a little over 0.75%. Not real exciting. The Dow Jones, now here you want to get real excited. Let's go back to 12/31 of 99. Bill Clinton was still in office. The Dow Jones closed at 11,497. So where are we at for the 12 years from 12/31/99 to 12/31/2012? Well, the market's up 28.82% for 12.75 years. That's an average of 2.26%. Folks, the 80 years previous to the turn of this century, the Dow Jones averaged close to over 10.5%. That's 400% less than the 80-year average. If you don't think the economy's changed and investing has changed, you live in a box. You have to understand things have changed. Yeah, we went to a world economy, but the days of investing, the days of buying and holding a stock are gone. If you don't have money that's managed, you don't have some kind of a strategy, and you're buying and you're selling, you are toast. Because if you want to make 2.26% a year, that's not much higher than a CD. Well, right now it's higher than a CD at the bank, but in normal times it's not. But let's look at the S&P 500 because everybody says, yes, Kevin.
Well, I was just going to say, even in a down market, we're still looking at opportunities, just different ways of looking at that, isn't it? And probably positioning yourself more conservative than you used to have had your portfolios, probably more conservative, but still looking at other opportunities.
Yeah, if you're a stock buyer, and you're looking at buying individual stocks, you're going to take advantage on buying some individual stocks. Let's face facts. In this country, if you're an investor, one of the greatest ways to accumulate money is stock, individual stock. It's also one of the greatest ways to lose your shirt. So, I mean, it's a double-edged sword. But again, if you have a strategy when you're going to buy a stock, we tell our clients, I have clients all the time call me and say, well, what do you think about me buying this stock? Or what do you think about me buying that stock? And sometimes I tell them, don't buy it. And sometimes I tell them, okay, if you want to buy it, that's not a bad stock. But understand, you don't fall in love with a stock. You fall in love with your spouse. You stay married to them. You don't fall in love with a stock. You buy the stock at a price, and you determine, let's say you buy a stock at $35 a share, and that stock you think is going to grow to $80 a share, then you determine right now how much do you want to make and how much do you want to lose. And if you don't think you can lose on a stock, you're living in fantasy land, because you can, even the best of stocks. I mean, who would have ever thought that Enron would go broke? Who would ever thought Bear Stearns would go broke? I mean, who would ever thought Lehman Brothers would go broke?
Washington Mutual,
yeah, biggest bank failure in American history. Who would have ever thought that? Well, I got news for you. Crap happens. So here's the thing. If you buy a stock, you better have a predetermined price to buy it and sell it at. And then stick to your guns. If you want to run that stock from 35 to 80, when that thing gets to 80, you get out of the stock. Or What I like to tell people is I always like playing with the house's money. If you run the stock up from 35 to 80, get all your money out or take your gains out and then play with what you originally invested. Now you've got your free money. You got the house's money. You're not playing with your money. And then ride it. Yeah, you may end up losing, but at least you still got some money in the marketplace there. But be disciplined if you're going to buy individual stocks. The S&P this week closed at 1632.91. Now, where was it at for the last 5 years, 5 years and 10 months, from 10907 before the market crash? It's up 4.33% in 5 years and 10 months, or an average of 0.74%.
A little bit better than my money market interest rate's making.
A little bit better, maybe three times. But still not quite as good as the Dow did, you know? Now, what about the S&P for the first decade, the first 12 years, which is really 2 years more than a decade, but the first 12 years of the new year from 12/31/99, the Dow, the S&P closed on 12/31/99, 14/69/25. It's up 11.14% or 12.75 years, 0.87%. That is something. And actually, you know, I went back and I did some numbers here, which really kind of surprised me. I went back and looked at the S&P 500, and actually that number is a little wrong because it's actually the other way. It's negative. The S&P actually on 12/31/99 closed at 14.69.25. On 12/31/2012, it was 14.26.19. It was actually down 43 points, and it was a negative 2.93% for the 12 years, or 0.00244, two hundredths of a point per year lost every year for 12 years. That's the S&P 500, folks. That's the 500 growth stocks in this country that are supposed to be leading the way.
Yeah.
That's, you know.
Well, you know, somebody might say, well, you can always pick a certain day and a certain window to make returns show what you want, either gains or losses or that type of a thing. But if you just step back and you look at the broad scale of what markets have done, I think that's what you're trying to get at here. Is you know, that's the trend that we seem to be seeing over the last decade.
Well, yeah, and you know, for you baby boomers here, I got a little something here that I've got a little thing here that I got a little musical thing. Two songs that you probably remember from the '60s. Yeah, I think you might remember that Wipeout. That's what happens when you get on a surfboard and you fall off and you miss that wave. Well, when you hear these people say you missed that opportunity to invest, not really. Then there's another part of that too, which
the Eastern world, it is exploding.
Well, I think we all remember that song, "The Eve of Destruction." I just got to say this about a news outbreak here. I listen to all the news channels, and if you listen to all the news channels, you got to be beating your head against the wall. How stupid are we as citizens? These guys have been gassing their people. I think this is the 12th or 14th time they've been reported to gas their people, and now all of a sudden we're upset about it? Where in the heck have we been all the previous times they've been doing this? Hey, folks, these people have been fighting for 1,000 years. We're not going to change them. We're not going to change them. You know, at some point, America needs to just regroup, come back, defend our homeland. If these people want to kill each other, let them do it. And, you know, we need to either step back. We either need to go all out and say, look, you're not going to do this, period, and then stop them. But I'll tell you, if we keep playing footsies with them, it's not going to turn out pretty. And the last thing we need is another Afghanistan or an Iraq or a Vietnam, a prolonged situation where we get involved in something we don't need to stick our face in and end up in an action that we don't really need. And I don't think anybody wants that. But I just kind of thought, Kevin, that Wipeout even a structure were kind of appropriate for today, it kind of goes to show how things really never change. You know, we just one of the great things about America is we keep doing the same stupid things over and over again, and we expect a different result. It's called insane.
That's true. Yes, yeah. There is nothing new under the sun. I think you can look back, and history does seem to repeat itself.
Yeah, and unfortunately, listen, my thing to you right now is, and I've mentioned this on the show numerous times, one of the reasons we've been having Harry Dent and Rodney Johnson on our show is because I think it's a wake-up call. We're saying to you, the listener, hey, listen, you need to have a strategy. You need to have a strategy in case the market takes another hit. And what's really weird about the stock market, if you go back and you look at any charts and you look at any graphs, you can usually see that the market goes up 3, 4, 5 years, goes down. Goes up 3, 4, 5 years, down. When the market goes up for 5.5 years, I got news for you. It's going to go down. Now, the question is, how much down is it? And one of the other things is there are two cycles of people looking at what's going on. The bear market guys say that we're in a bear market cycle. A bear market cycle, and you can go back to January 15th of 2000 and pretty much show that's where this market started, heading back down after 99. And then came back up, and then 9/11 hit, boom, we went down. Then 2007, 2008, debacle that caused the problem. And what we've been doing ever since then is feeding the bear. And you know, if you keep feeding the bear, eventually he's going to bite your hand. And right now, we've been feeding the bear at the tune of about $85 billion a month, printing money we don't have. Anybody with a lick of common sense knows you can't do that. That's like maxing out your credit card, and the first thing you want to do is get the mail and see that you got a new credit card so you can max it out. That's insane. And that's what we're doing. And if people who can't see that, who think, oh, it's okay that we're running up this debt, it's not okay. Because my kids, my grandkids, you listeners out there, your kids, your grandkids, maybe your great-grandkids, they're going to all have to pay for this. This is not some kind of fantasy land where the government can just flip a switch and print new money. That's not how it works.
Well, speaking of additional debt, I see that the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau came out with a report where they wanted, it's more of a news release, where they wanted to let government workers know that they have some options available to them to repay or have their student loan debts forgiven. And I believe about a quarter of our workforce is in public service, and so there's a number of things supposedly available to help people who have had long-term student loan debt to get that forgiven. But what I noticed in the report was the amount of student debt that is out there: $1.2 trillion in student debt. So that's a significant number with rising interest rates coming. And relief, you know, I'm guessing Congress is going to have to do additional relief to help people get on top of that. It's basically hamstringing many of our young people as they come out of college for what they can do. I mean, you can't go buy a house when you have a huge amount of student loan debt with a rising interest rate, and just servicing those payments is prohibitive to moving forward in, you know, career and things that help build the economy.
Well, when you have a job force that has a real unemployment rate of about 14.5%, not the bogus 7.4 that the news networks and the political people. This is the other thing too that I found interesting, Kevin, about campaigns. I was listening to a report on actual how stupid Americans really are. The real problem in this country is not just big government, it's big business, Wall Street. Wall Street contributes to the Democratic Party and the federal government 4-1 versus the Conservative Party. And the reason why is the guys that are in cahoots in this country, the ones that make it, and I said this years ago when we first got on the radio, I said, you show me a poor politician and I'll show you a first termer. The fact is, this whole thing is just perpetuating so bad. We now have people, and this is not to put down anybody running a government job or doing a government job, but I can't understand how any government job could be more important than President of the United States. And yet, we have school officials and school districts and city officials and city commissioners and city planners making more money than the President of the United States. Hey, let's get the unions out of this thing and let's get down salaries from these government people. If we want unemployment, I got a great job. Mr. Obama, I hope you're listening to our show. Here's what you do. You go into the federal government and you go into the city and the county governments, and everybody that's making over the average annual income of, say, $70,000, you take their job and you divide it, and you give it to somebody who's got a college degree out there who ain't got a job, who can't find a job because we've stymied the economy. And let's take this school district administrator that's getting $400,000 a year. Let's hire four of them, give them each $100,000 a year, and they'll be, thank God they got a job, and put people to work. It's not that difficult. We're overpaying for people. Besides, what are you getting that you, with one person that you could get with four? I would think you get four times the work, wouldn't you?
Sounds like it.
Yeah, and we got people in the government making unbelievable amounts of money that, quite honestly, the word public servant makes me throw up, because the only public servant in this country is the guy standing out there with his hand out to get more money and to spend your money and my money. And what do we get back for it? Hey, we got $17 trillion in debt. That's what we get for it. Another day older and deeper in debt. I think that was 16 tons.
That's right.
Yeah. We're going to take a quick break and come right back with the tax investigator and start beating the drum a little more.
In the meantime, I'm going to fill up your coffee cup again, Chuck, and see what we come up
with. I need some caffeine. Hey, give us a call at 503-417-7626. That's 503-417-7626, Investing Simplified.
We do Investing Simplified.
The time to stop working is approaching, or maybe it's already arrived. CDs and money markets are paying only fractions of a point. How secure do you feel about retiring right now? Call Chuck Price. He's located right here in Portland, and he can show you how to increase your Social Security up to 67% using specific program rules and the file and suspend strategy. Chuck specializes in working with people who are either retired or are close to retiring, and he focuses on how to never run out of money during retirement. Do this today. Schedule a free 20-minute retirement plan phone consultation or schedule an appointment with Chuck himself. Call 503-253-3000. That's 503-253-3000. Chuck Price at Price Financial Group Wealth Management. On the web at pfgwm.com. Do you have a tax question? Here's your opportunity to ask the tax investigator, Kevin Stege, CPA and partner of the Baker Colson CPA firm. You can call Kevin at 503-417-7626. That's 503-417-7626. Now here's the CPA with the tax answers, CPA Kevin Stege.
You are listening to Investing Simplified, and we have some good information to pass on to you here in the Tax Investigator segment, but we do want to hear your calls. If Chuck has struck a chord with you during his segment, I can't imagine how he couldn't, whether it resonates or doesn't. We'd love to hear from you. If you have tax questions, give us a call, 503-417-7626. Don't wait till the last minute. We get short on time sometimes and can't answer your questions, but if you call us early, we'd love to hear from you. So, you know, Chuck, there's been some interesting things in the news, particularly you may see that coming up this Wednesday, this last Wednesday, there was a report from that the United States government and Switzerland were getting close to an agreement regarding how they're going to punish the Swiss banks, the vaunted Swiss bank account that overseas Americans have had for overseas. They're starting to find.
You mean that all our politicians have?
That's right. Okay. That's right. Exactly. Punish the banks for basically hiding those accounts. And, you know, it almost has this World War II feel of, you know, this neutral nation that happened to have just stored all of the stolen German wealth. You know, are they really that neutral? Well, it's come due for the Swiss. And basically, the banks that have been allowing foreign accounts to accumulate over there and have, you know, no reporting action to other countries where these accounts can avoid taxation, huge amount of dollars escaping taxation. The banks are going to start getting punished, and what some of the penalties are going to be are 20% of the bank account values, so significant penalties, and that's just an agreement that they've come to, and the Swiss are happy to do this because what's happened earlier is the United States government indicted the oldest Swiss bank about a year or two back, and that indictment made investors basically. Customers flee that bank, and it is now defunct. The bank went out of business.
So what are they going to do when everybody goes over and opens an account in Bangkok or in Hong Kong, and they tell they try to do that with China, and China tells them, well, why don't you just write that money that you owe me, and we'll talk about it. What are they going to do then?
That sounds like another wrinkle.
Yeah.
Sounds like another wrinkle. That's right. So the U.S. government has a program out there right now. Now, for the individual taxpayers, you'd be probably surprised at the number of people that may have a bank account over in Switzerland or a foreign bank account. And this has been a focus of the U.S. government and the IRS to have people disclose their foreign accounts. It doesn't mean they're going to be, you know, quote, taxing your account or that you shouldn't have them. You just need to be report the income on them. And that's what the whole deal is a huge amount of financial assets overseas, not reporting the income that those are making.
Well, I hate to tell you this, Kevin, but there is a lot of people. I know some who have brokerage accounts in foreign countries that do no reporting. And their big catch to the American citizen is that you can open up the account and have complete anonymity to the United States government, and you can have your money over there, and you can make money. And the only time you're going to pay taxes on that money is when you bring it back in.
Yep, that's exactly right, and that's the draw. That's the beauty of those accounts. What the IRS is doing is they have said. If you have over $10,000 of balance in any account in a foreign country in one day, any given day during the year, you have to disclose that and just disclose it. All you have to do is fill out a Treasury Department form 90.22-1 and say, hey, I've got this account. Here's what the maximum value was. And that's it. And just give the location. And then, of course, pick up the interest income on your tax return and you're fine. But if you don't do that, the penalties are severe. Minimum penalty is $10,000for not filling out the TD.
Wow. Well, you know, most of those accounts, you have to open up with a minimum of 10. And some of them are a minimum of 20 or 25.
That's exactly right. So the IRS has said, okay, so maybe you've had an account in the past and you want to come clean. It's exceeded $10,000. We have the Offshore Voluntary Disclosure Program. And in that program, you basically come forward, you disclose the accounts, you catch up on your past filings, you amend your tax returns, get the interest on there, pay any related taxes to that. And you, by doing that, will avoid criminal prosecution, because if you know you've had an account and you haven't disclosed it, then that's fraud, tax fraud. And so, but the problem with that program is you pay 25% of the account, the maximum account value. So that's a pretty, it's a stiff amount to pay, but if it avoids criminal prosecution and you're not going to jail, I guess that's a good thing. So,
well, yeah, but you know, I don't know. I have two different thoughts on that because this has been going on since time began.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you're going to see a lot of people have been doing this, but I have no problem because I don't have any foreign accounts, so it doesn't bother me. I mean, most Americans, unless you're pretty wealthy, don't have any accounts outside the United States. And most of the people that do are the politicians and big corporate owners. So, hey,
yep.
Pay tax on it.
Yep, that's exactly right.
I have no problem.
And it's just a matter of reporting the income and disclosing it, checking the box on your Schedule B that says, yes, I have a foreign account or a foreign investment account with over $50,000 in assets. So, well, moving on, I think this is a very interesting court case that came through. Now, of course, I'm involved in all the details of taxes, and I find these things interesting. Hopefully you will, but do you know there is a difference between making a tax payment with the IRS and making a deposit with the IRS? I would say 99.9% of our listeners did not know that there was a difference between that, and it's a significant difference. So this is a court case that came through where an estate made a tax payment. They wanted to put their estate inheritance tax return on extension, and they made a $170,000 payment on extension. They didn't get around to filing that tax return for after the statute of getting your refund, which would be over 3 years from the due date. They procrastinated for one reason or another, and they went ahead and filed a tax return, and the IRS audited it, and they said they owed more money. And the taxpayer said, well, just use the $170,000 that we made a payment on and refund us the difference. Well, the IRS said, you filed after 3 years, and this tax payment was beyond the statute, the three-year limitation of getting a refund, and would not allow that money. Not only did they lose the $170,000, but they also had to pay an additional $25,000 plus attorney fees to fight this in court, and it did not turn out well.
Do they get any interest on their money they had deposited with the IRS?
Well, again, it wasn't a deposit. They had to specifically note on their check that this was a deposit, and it would have gone into a different account. So
it actually went in to pay against their tax, the amount of tax they owed?
It did. It went into that, except that they filed after the 3 years, and so their additional tax liability was tacked on top of this $170,000 payment, which they figured, you know, that was the proper assessment at the time, and so it was extremely punitive, and it was really just an administrative mistake, if you will. Among other things, there's some procrastination that, I mean, this is just a case in point. You do not procrastinate with your taxes. Just get in, get them filed, do what you have to do. And the other thing is hiring a competent tax professional who knows these things and keeps at you to get your information in. If you're having trouble, you're busy and stuff, keeps working with you to get your filings done. So the key here was if they had called it a deposit, it would have gone into the IRS. They would have put it in a separate account, and you know, of course, you're not planning to file 4 years later instead of the next year. Estates sometimes have a way of growing legs and having a life of their own.
What does the IRS charge for interest on taxes that you have not paid?
I believe it's 3-4% right now.
And, okay.
Yeah. So it's that's about the same they're going to pay you on an overpayment if they're going to be properly refunding you money.
Yeah, I thought it used to be higher. I thought it used to be a lot higher.
6-8% was common just not too long ago.
What is it, prime? Is that what it is, prime plus one or something?
It's something like that, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they come out every month, and they adjust it every month, so 3 to 4% or so. So, and frankly, this is another reason we need to simplify the tax code. Here's a taxpayer that got behind for one reason or another, who knows why. They made the payment. They paid the tax. And just because you did not designate it as a deposit, you don't get the benefit of making that payment because it's over the 3-year statute of limitations for getting a refund. That's just, you know, the tax court even said, and let me find their summary statement. They said, the court acknowledged that the result may seem, quote, unfair by allowing the government to keep a payment that itself the government concedes wasn't due. But tax laws, and this is a quote, quote, but tax laws are not normally characterized by case-specific exceptions reflecting individualized equities, unquote. So,
in other words, tough luck.
That's exactly right. That's exactly
that's
right.
Great.
So,
well,
yeah.
Well, you know, the old saying, I'm from the IRS and I'm here to help you.
Very good. Yes. Well, moving on to more of the political realm, and I'm sure you'll have a feel some feelings on this, I have a feeling. The debt ceiling fight coming up. I think it's going to be very interesting in mid-October with the new debt ceiling coming up. You know, 2 years ago, we got that extended from, 2011 to October of 2013. And, you know, the political wrangling and posturing should be worth watching. We think that, well, hey, it's not quite the crisis that we are in before, but frankly, it's every bit as important. Additional tax revenues have helped the budget go down a little bit, the deficit, I should say, go down a little bit. So we don't feel that we're in such a critical situation. But, mixing in, getting something through the House that the Republicans are going to approve, that something the White House is going to sign off on, mixing in Obamacare and the wrangling on that, I just think is going to be an interesting next 2 months watching how this plays out and seeing what really happens. And of course, you know, with the scheduled sequestration cuts that need to come up, those type of things, it's going to be...
Well, the only reason the debt has slowed down is because of that, Kevin, is because the president had put that forth and had that happen, and then he tried to blame it on the Republicans, and it's in there. Now they can't spend that money.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, to me, I want them... The question is what is going to be the real cost of Obamacare? And you can hear it from different sides. Everybody's saying, you know, and you even hear some Democrats now saying that it's a train wreck. The thing is, I think John Boehner, I think the Democrats have something on John Boehner because Boehner seems to disappear when the going gets tough. And I think the best thing the Republican Party could do is get his rear out of there, get him and Mitch McConnell both out of office, and bring in new blood, bring in some young people to start trying to turn this country around. But Jamie Herrera, I hope you're listening because I contribute to your campaign, but I can tell you, if you don't stand tough and you don't stand tough with the conservatives, you're not getting anything from me, and I'm going to work for somebody to get you out of office. I expect these people to be concerned about us, the citizens, not their own pocketbook. And I am disgusted with both political parties for making us have to have Obamacare when they exempted themselves and their staff and their good old corporate buddies with large companies and large unions. I think every American in this country ought to pick up the phone and call their senator and tell them, look, you either sign on to Obamacare or you dissolve it for me. You dissolved it for yourself. Why? You know, every one of these people need to be accountable. They've exempted themselves from a tax that we're going to have to pay. Every single one of them. And I don't care. I know some of them did vote against it and whatever. But the fact is, if the conservatives really wanted, if the Republican Party really wanted to be a significant factor in politics right now, they ought to be standing up and screaming on every news channel they can that, hey, we want the president to be on his own Obamacare. We want the House and the Senate to be on Obamacare. If Harry Reid is such a lover of Barack Obama, why isn't Harry Reid requiring that the Senate be on the Affordable Care Act? Why isn't he screaming to be on it? Well, he doesn't want to be on it because it sucks versus what he's got. And, you know, I think every American ought to just look in the mirror and say, how stupid are you? Look in the mirror yourself. How stupid are you? We're letting these politicians who were their employer, we ought to be firing these guys. We ought to be running them out of town on a rail. We ought to be asking them to resign, just like they finally made that idiot in San Diego resign. We ought to be demanding that these House of Representatives and these senators resign if they don't take Obamacare just like they have it for us.
Well, you know, one of the maybe unintended victims, if you will, of Obamacare is going to be young minority workers, because they are the ones who typically at this point have not had health care coverage and have not paid in to health care. They typically do not need health care. I don't think I've ever had to go to the doctor. Well, I guess I had a basketball injury and stuff. But when you are going to be, you know, requiring the Latino community, the young Latino workers, to step up and mandatorily pay into this for health care that they are not going to be using, except for a very, very small percentage of them, to help pay for the costs of all of the people at the you know, the baby boomer generation and the older folks who are going to be using this, you know, that's it may not work out exactly as intended. So we'll see.
Well, it is a train wreck waiting to happen because those people don't have jobs. They don't have, you know, the young people in this country. The unemployment rate is off the chart, mm-hmm. And how sad it is that of course. The one thing they did do is they allow you to stay on your mom and dad's.
That's what I was going to say.
Until you're 26.
26. So
now here's the question, Kevin: If you're married, a husband and wife's married, they're going to college, but they're married, can they still be on their mom and dad's health care? I'm assuming you can until you're 26.
I'm assuming so too. I'd have to look at that. I know.
So what he's going to do is they're going to pass the cost to everybody who's working and busting their hump to pay their taxes, pay while their kids are going to school, pay all this extra money, and now they're going to turn around and hit them with a higher increased premium.
Yep.
Wow. Huh. Well, I don't know. It doesn't seem fair to me, but you know. The more I look at the Affordable Care Act, and people call it the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare, it just drives me crazy that we are so stupid in this country that we think it's okay for the elite politicians to exempt themselves from something they're putting on us. Of course, you know, and I've mentioned this book before. There's a book called Throw 'Em All Out by Peter Schweitzer, and if you haven't read the book, you need to read it because you need to wake up and understand that the two political party system are screwing you and me every single day, and they make more money and we make less money. They can do insider trading. They don't have to. I have to tell you, I read a blog the other day about Warren Buffett, and I got to tell you, it made me a little sick because I admire Warren Buffett for the amount of money he's made, and he's done exceptionally well. But the last few years, he's basically been a puppet for one political party, and he's gotten inside things that if you and I did, we'd be in jail. But in this country, if you're rich and you're part of the elite establishment, you can do whatever the heck you want to do and not go to jail, and there's no repercussions. And I don't know why any American, whether you're politically of that party or another party, why any of us should stand for that. We should never allow this to happen in this country. We should demand these people be treated the same as we're treated. But I guess, you know, hey, Mitch, are you there? You got that me and Bobby McGee? See if Mitch is listening. Nope. I think he took a break. Well, anyway, you know, I was gonna say a little, play a little tune here again from the '60s. Freedom's just another word for nothing left to lose, you know. And I mean, in America, we keep giving away our rights, and we keep allowing these kings and queens of business and government to do whatever they want to do with our money, and they've done a poor job of spending it. They've ran us into the poorhouse. The problem is we're in the poorhouse. They're in the mansion.
It's always nice when it's somebody else's money.
Or they got the gold mine, we got the shaft. Mm-hmm. Something like that. We're going to take a quick break and come back with the Knowledge Trust. You're listening to Investing Simplified.
Hello, this is Kevin Stege, shareholder with Baker & Colson Certified Public Accountants, serving the Portland and Southwest Washington areas for almost 40 years. We are a full-service accounting and consulting firm offering our services to a wide range of business and individual clients. One of the largest expenses to a household or a business is its tax burden. While off-the-shelf tax products can help file simple returns, they can't know your plans for the future and not only provide insight and planning to help you get there, but actually help you along the way. There are just some things that can't be replaced by experience. Whether you are just beginning your working career or have a well-established business with many employees, rely on the professionals at Baker & Colson to help in an efficient, accurate, and personalized manner. We are located at 2414 Northeast Division in Gresham and can be reached at our website at bakercolson.com or 503-666-5569. That's bakercolson.com, 503-666-5569. And remember, at Baker & Colson, our service is the product our clients remember most.
What you don't know can hurt you. Get that investing question or that legal question or even a tax question answered now. Call the Knowledge Trust at 503-417-7626. That's 503-417-7626. Now here's Chuck, Carl, and Kevin, the Knowledge Trust.
If I had $1 million.
Well, if you run for office, you can have $1 million. Yes, just get your campaign up and going and start getting campaign contributions, and you too could be a multimillionaire and maybe even a billionaire.
How do you really feel, Chuck?
That's how I really feel. I think all of these politicians need to be in a boat, and we can sink it out in the middle of the ocean, and they can try to swim to shore, and we could, there's a song by Alan Jackson about everybody, a little smaller piece of the pie, and everybody gets a little piece of the pie. And, I wonder if we took all the politicians and divided up their pie, probably most Americans would be a lot more wealthier.
I think so.
So, you know, you're listening to Investing Simplified. We don't have Carl Jepsen, so we can get kind of wild because our attorney's not here to rein us in and say, hey, you can't say that on the air. But, you know, it's kind of fun having a day we can just kind of cut loose.
That is true. Yes.
Yeah. And hey, for all you listeners, I usually don't like to, I want to plug a show. If you get a chance, get up early in the morning on Saturday. There's a Watchdog on Wall Street, and I absolutely love the show. I listened to it long before I came to this network, but the Watchdog on Wall Street is a very, very conservative guy, and if you think I'm opinionated, I am nowhere near as opinionated as this guy. He is off the chart, but it's well worth listening to, and if you want to hear some straight information, he's got it, and it's a great show to listen to. And I know on the schedule they show it's right before us, and I'm kind of glad it's not, because this morning I kind of listened to it, and it kind of got, I didn't need any caffeine this morning, man. I was ready to go, and if that show was on right before our show, oh, wow, we'd be in trouble.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, listen, you know, Kevin, right now is probably one of the best times. We tell our clients, look, coming into the last quarter of the year, and we're just about through the third quarter, we'll be ending here September 30th, but the last quarter of the year is when you need to start talking about your tax planning. You need to start talking about your investment and your tax planning. This is the time you want to look at your portfolio and maybe take some capital gains off the table. We've had some pretty good upbringings here. You may want to take some gains off the table because nobody knows what capital gains is going to happen next year, and nobody knows. So this is a great time to do tax planning.
It sure is. And with some of the changes that have come through lately, 2013 is a different beast over 2012, the tax laws. And if you're, especially if you're in the upper 10% of earners or investing income, then you definitely do have some things to plan. And there's a lot of opportunities to avoid having to pay some of these excess taxes. For example, the 3.8% Medicare surtax on net investment income. Say one example is, say you're selling a piece of property. Why not schedule it to be an installment sale and receive the payments over 3 years or 2 years or 4 years or something like that, and not have a lump in of income that's going to bump you up into the higher brackets and trigger the Medicare surtax 3.8%. And if it's, especially if it's a significant gain, 3.8% is not insignificant.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen anything about capital gains or any changes on capital gains. They've kind of let that die down. I know there was a lot of talk about possibly restructuring the tax code and maybe making capital gains ordinary income again, which I'm glad they're not doing. I'm glad it's not been enacted yet, but it wouldn't surprise me.
I don't think anything's out of reach of what the Congress could do. So,
well, you know, Carl's not here, but I think this is a good time for us to kind of take a look at the upcoming football season because, we got everybody's in action this weekend. The Beavers, the Ducks, the Huskies, and the Cougs. And so I think there's a good chance for 3-1 and maybe 2-2. I think the Beavers and the Ducks are solid, should win solidly.
Who's Washington State playing this year?
I think their opening game is Auburn.
Oh, that's a
I don't
tough
think
one.
They're going to do well.
Yeah, down there at Auburn. That's,
I think
tough.
It is, and I know the Huskies are going to be on TV playing Boise State, and I'm going to be watching that game, rooting my Huskies on.
I think they're slightly favored too.
Yeah, I think they are, but I think it's going to be a tough go.
Yeah,
but I'm excited about the start of the season. I think they've got a much better team. I hope they're going to give the Ducks a run for it. I think the Ducks are, the Ducks and Stanford, to me, are probably the two quality teams. I watched SC play Hawaii.
I did, too.
And I was totally unimpressed.
Yeah, yeah.
I was very shocked at how, I don't know, it just seemed to me they weren't hustling.
Yeah. Lane Kiffin may have put himself a little bit back on the hot seat. I don't think the USC supporters are going to go for beating a team like that by so little.
Well, I think what's going to really make the difference for Lane is when they get into the Pac-12. Mm-hmm. If he goes down and they solidly win the South, which they should, mm-hmm. and he ends up playing Oregon or Stanford for the championship, which hopefully it's going to be Oregon. Because I'd like to see Oregon end up playing for the national championship, which would be great. I mean, I always want to see a team from the Northwest, if we can, play for that national championship. And it'd be great to see Oregon close the deal.
It would. I guess the first things first, are they going to cover the spread against Nichols State? What is it up to, 58 points, I think?
I don't know. I think their
goodness.
Second string could probably do that.
Oh, boy.
I don't get college football, and I don't get the NCAA. To me, if you're going to really have an NCAA, I think they need to quit playing all these podunk teams. And that's just, I'm not blaming Oregon. Everybody does it. The Huskies do it. The Cougars do it. They all do, and they all play the cream puffs. And look at who Alabama and a lot of those teams open up against. You know, Morehead State or I don't know.
Yeah.
Chickawa something, I don't know, who knows, some university you never heard of,
yep.
Arkansas State or something, I don't know. But, you know, my gosh, I think they ought to all have to play their 10 games or 12 games, whatever they're playing now, 12, I guess. I think they ought to have to play them against the same quality of school.
It would be nice to see them play all the teams in their conference. I guess some of the conferences are too big anymore to do that, but you know, it's just a shame Oregon doesn't play USC this year. You know, I'd trade that.
Well, I think they're going to play him.
Yeah, it could be.
I think they're going to play him. I think they'll play him in the Pac-12 championship. Yeah. I hope they do because I think that would be very interesting. I think Oregon would win, at least from what I've seen so far.
Yeah, yeah.
And Stanford, I'm really anxious to see how good Stanford really is.
Yeah.
And Huskies are supposed to be better. Utah, I watched a little bit of Utah State, and Utah won. In fact, the Pac-12 right now is undefeated.
2-0, 3-0, something
yeah,
like
Arizona
that.
Won, too.
Arizona, yeah.
So, yeah. So, yep. Well, anyway, this is Investing Simplified. Hopefully, listen to us next week. And about the third week of the month, we try to have either Harry Dent or Rodney Johnson on. And in October, we're going to really do a lot of talking about tax planning and planning for the year end, getting your contributions in for your retirement plans, making any changes you got to make for the new year. And I'm sure Carl will have some updates for wills and estate planning. So thank you very much for listening to Investing Simplified. We'll be back next Saturday, and enjoy your Labor Day weekend.
Financial Group Wealth Management. Price Financial Group Wealth.